Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and my co-host, Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, want to hear from you, so please give us a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you want to reach out and touch us immediately, you can always jump into the chat room. We actually have two chat rooms going simultaneously. That's how we do it here at Smooth Drama. You can go, if you're listening live on Blog Talk, you can jump into the Blog Talk chat room. If you want to get extra, extra personal, put your hands in my pocket and all that other stuff, you can go to the Smooth Drama site, www.smoothdrama.com, and we got the chat room going on there. And we, of course, would love to have you in there because we talk about this and that from sneakers to hats. Also, social networking. We do that here. So you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group on Facebook, myself or Mr. Shiny, one himself, Mr. J, will add you to the Smooth Drama group. Myself or the Shiny one, Mr. J, will add you to the Smooth Drama group on Facebook. And pretty much anywhere you see anywhere you see Smooth Drama at us, we'll add you back and we can talk a taste on it. And as always, I don't think I say this enough. From 9 to 10:30, me and Brown Sugar, we on here live freestyling, profiling, rockwilding, right?
I like that.
Right off the dome. That's how we live in. Right off the dome. So if y'all want to mess with us, here we go. And speaking of messing with us, y'all want to talk about the stuff that we learned during the more scrumptious apocalypse? I mean, because it's, and I'm gonna say this, Brown Sugar. I'm actually scared of myself right now.
Of yourself? I mean,
yes. You know how James Brown jumped back and kissed himself? And it was, it was that thing. It was smooth. Because it's like everything that I've said, they all just keep coming true. I'm almost to the point where, man, should I put on one of them turbans and...
you need to speak some money into existence.
Well, that too. I'm just saying. My crystal ball is rolling. I should be playing a lot of one of the chatters say I should play a lot of. I think I'm a roll with it. I'm just gonna go and do that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you're going to win the lotto, chatter, and I'm going to win. We're going to win the lotto. I just said it, so now it's got to happen, right? Because I haven't been wrong.
Okay, you got to add me in there. You got to add me in there, too.
Yeah, Brown Sugar, I got you. I got you.
All right.
We good.
All
I'm just
right.
saying. Right? I mean, it's so much stuff that we've learned out here. So, for example, you know what I found out, Brown Sugar? I learned that the Satanic Temple is different from the Church of Satan.
Oh.
I didn't know that. Not that I
didn't
was
either.
Looking. Yeah. So, there was when Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg died. Mm-hmm. There somebody wrote an article talking about I was so hurt that I went and found solace in a satanic temple. And apparently a whole lot of people was like, what? You know, so Democrats are about evil and Satan and all this other stuff. And that person was like, no, that wasn't it. And that person goes on to say, you know what? There's a difference between the satanic temple and Church of Satan. And, you know, I had to think about that for a second. Oh, the difference is the satanic temple has an ick on the end, and the Church of Satan does not.
What?
Two letters.
Wait.
Sorry.
So what is the difference?
Okay, so the people in the Church of Satan, apparently they worship Satan. If you go to the satanic temple, there may be some people who are Satan adjacent, but they don't necessarily worship Satan, according to the person that wrote the article.
Okay, so what does that mean?
I don't know, but it just sounded cool as hell. Yeah, like, because I guess apparently people were, you know, they were like, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death pushed me to join the Satanic Temple, and everybody, and I'm like, and then they came out and said, no, there's a difference. And I, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it. It's sort of like people say there's a difference between Lutheran and Baptist churches. You know, they're all Christians, right?
Yeah.
But they say they're different. They say they're different, right?
And they are. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. So we talk about religion, right? And so they're saying that, hey, satanic temple ain't the same as the Church of Satan.
And so I need it to be, like, spelled out, like, what are... Like, we do this in satanic, Satanism or Satan, what is it?
Church of Satan. Church of Satan.
Yeah, they do this, and then the satanic people do that. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, because I feel like this. I've been to different churches, and, you know, Church of God in Christ, and a Baptist church, and, like, Lutheran. I've attended... You know, you attend Catholic churches as well. So, I mean, it's a difference between, like, okay, we speak a prayer before, you know, when we come in, before we sit down, or, you know, it's maybe it's the music, or, you know, the teaching is still basically the same. So that's what I'm confused about. Like, what is the difference in the teaching?
See, but you see, nobody ever asked that in the other religions, right? Because nobody says, what's the difference between the Christians? What's the difference between the Muslims? No, nobody ever asked that. I mean, because remember, there's we probably say hundreds of thousands of churches in the world. A lot of them say they're Christian. A lot of them say they're Muslim. But they're all different. I mean, you would think, well, hey, I'm a Christian, then everybody can, they all be the same, but they're not. So who's to say that if you go to the satanic temple, it can't be different from the Church of Satan? That's all. That was my public service announcement.
I mean, I agree. I agree with that, but it sounds like it's just semantics.
See, there
like
you go.
Like most religions. But no, I'm not saying that because I believe
there you
in
go.
General religion is about semantics.
All right. See, now I don't know. You're going to make it where we can't go outside. Why?
Why?
Why you did? Come on now. You know these religious folks. These religious folks are the most dangerous people on earth.
I don't think very religious people are listening to us.
Well, you never know. That's the thing. See, that's the thing. Religious folks are the most craziest people on earth because, one, they'll kill you in the name of love. It's,
yeah.
You know, ain't nothing deeper than that right there. Those are the people that scare me because it's like you hear a bunch of religious folks going to get together. I'm like, oh, somebody's going to die. That's what happens. You know, you get a bunch of religious folks together, that's the scariest shit on earth. There's nothing scarier than a bunch of religious folks in one place. I get extra nervous. Oh, they got a convention? I got to leave town. Like, it's a whole bunch of them going to be in one place? It's like, all right, time to go on vacation. And I ain't talking about the religious people who are listening to the show. I'm talking about them other ones.
The ones that are not listening.
Right, just to be clear. All right. One other thing that I learned. In Finland, you know what? You ain't even got to take, you don't have to, like, take that uncomfortable test where they stick it up your nose and touch your brain, none of that. Because in Finland, you're in the airport in Helsinki, they give you the sweat test. The neck sweat test.
The neck?
The neck sweat test.
If you have a sweaty neck, then you're positive. You have COVID.
No. Mm-mm. So you can volunteer to wipe sweat from your neck and leave it on the swab in the box, and then the trainer puts the box next to the containers of other scents. And they have disease-sniffing dogs in Finland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it takes a minute. If the dog gets a positive result from the neck sweat, you get sent to the airport's health center for a free virus test that might involve something more invasive. Yeah.
Okay, that's too much.
Yep. So,
that's too much.
You can get it. You can find out. If you positive, that next, I'm like, how did, it's like, it must be really, really hot in Helsinki, where it's like you on the plane to make sure that they don't turn on the AC or nothing. So by the time you get off the plane, your neck is all sweaty, and then it's real easy to get that swab.
Yeah, because what if you don't have any neck sweat? Or what if it comes up, it's a false positive because, I don't know, it just happens to be, like you said, extra hot that day, or maybe, I mean, like.
No, they turned off the AC. So you go on neck sweat. It's non-negotiable.
I don't know.
Neck sweating is
crazy.
Yes.
And so then if the dogs bark, then they have to take me somewhere else to get a real test.
Yep, that's when you get that work. You get all up in your crevices.
No.
Yeah.
No, see, that's too much.
If you're going to Finland, clean your nose.
I was going to say that you might as well just get the real test and bypass. I mean, it's like you got to go through a middleman.
Yeah, but they're just saying that, hey, that dog, that one's good. You can let them go. That's all. I don't know what it is that make the dog react. If the dog starts shaking or whatever, legs start shaking, whatnot, you got it. I don't know. All right. You know what else I learned, Brown Sugar?
What else? What else?
I learned that in Vietnam, they take used condoms and repackage them for sale.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. What do you say to that? That's gross. Like, how is that even possible?
Apparently.
And then where do they get them from? Where are they getting them from? What do you mean?
First, you know, the police found 320,000 recycled used condoms that were being repackaged. Apparently, the people who owned the plant had bought them from a man. They were washed and reshaped and then packed in plastic bags. And like you said, where they get them from, I'm like, you know that people are struggling when your job is to find used condoms, collect them, and clean them. See, that right there, that is the ultimate job that you never want to have. Like, how many you get tonight? Oh, I got about 45, 50. Here's your quarter. Good job.
Wow.
Woo! And I mean, think, that's somebody's job to clean condoms and repackage them.
I mean, you just think about all the health issues that they could be like creating.
Yeah, I don't think they care. So,
they find them in garbage cans, do they wash up on the beach? Do you ask your neighbor? I mean, like, how do you go about?
That's the worst job. I mean, because we've talked about jobs that nobody wants. This is one. I can't think of too many jobs. Maybe then we say like 1B. There's the people, because now you know they do the colon testing where the people send in the sample. The person that has to open up the sample, that is up there also, right?
Yeah,
that's up there.
Yeah.
It's like you check those packages all day. This one right here is like 1A or 1B. They are very, very close. It's like neck and neck. What do you do? I clean condoms and repackage them. See, you ain't never heard that on a date. You ain't never heard that on a date, have you? Like, hey, what you do?
No.
Somebody say,
I'll find out what you do before we go out on a date. Because do that, we're not going.
Right. Well, so you going to discriminate against the person because they clean condoms?
I sure am. I sure am. You know, it's life is troublesome enough. I don't need that kind of negativity in my life.
All right. So, well, this is in the Binh Dong province in Vietnam. So, if you're listening, if you're in Binh Dong province in Vietnam, yeah, don't buy your condoms there. Because they caught them this time. I'm guessing they probably been doing it for a while. You might want to leave the city. Just a thought.
I mean, well, now I'm questioning, do they send them here? I'm not even thinking that they use them there. I'm thinking they send them here.
I guess you got to check them boxes. Whether it's Trojan or Skin or whatever. If it says made in Vietnam, I would say throw them shits away.
Yep. Check your boxes, y'all. Check your boxes. Yeah,
just a thought.
That's a PSA.
Yeah, that is the PSA. Oh. Woo.
I mean, dang.
Woo. I can't. Oh, I can't today. That one right there is special. I don't think that I've ever seen anything that crazy before. If you're one of the officers that's in that raid and you realize what's happening, because you're in Vietnam, and like maybe you bought some condoms, you have to rethink that shit. Like, man, I just bought a 12 pack.
Well, you better read the packaging.
Hey, well, it doesn't matter.
Hopefully, you haven't opened the box and you can return them.
Yeah. Hey, I read an article that these condoms might have been used. I need to return them. And you know, the shopholder's like, nah, get us out of here, dog. You can't return me. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, we just gonna ride off. We gonna learn about the dumbass of the week. Whew. All right. I always love that last bit. It makes it more authentic. Man. So, Nicholas Ellingford, a 29-year-old man from Lincoln City, Oregon. He shot himself Sunday at a supermarket. You know, shooting yourself, that happens when people do stuff, right? Only thing is, homie was in the checkout line at the store when he unholstered his Glock 9mm semi-automatic pistol so that he could show it off to a friend. He was reportedly holding the gun near the front of his pants when he accidentally pulled the trigger. The bullet entered into Ellingford's groin area before exiting out the lower thigh of his leg, narrowly missing his femoral artery. Because apparently in Lincoln City, Oregon, that is the lick. You know what? Hey, man, I got this 9mm. Listen to my 9mm go bang. He had that KRS song in his head.
Is that
like
Uzi? Is that an Uzi 9mm?
No, that was my Uzi weighs a ton. But no, this is just his 9mm. It was the KRS-One song from Criminal Minded way back in the day. On some 1987 shit. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Showing off your gun in the checkout line, because apparently that's where you want to show off at, right?
Yeah.
I got that.
I'm buying my groceries. Come look at my gun.
Exactly. Yeah, you ain't got one like this. Oh, shit.
No.
Because I'm guessing there's a lot of cussing that happened after.
Yeah.
Woo!
A lot of cussing and crying.
Oh, yeah. They said they admitted their first aid to her before the paramedics showed up. Where you get to talk about how you shot yourself in the dick. Showing off your gun.
Well, you know, in a few months, maybe a year, he'll be, you know, it'll be funny. Remember that time, you know.
I shot myself in the dick.
Well, almost. He didn't. He almost did, though. Narrowly.
Yeah. No, he narrowly missed his femoral artery.
Oh.
Yeah, he got himself in the groin area. He got himself.
Okay.
Yeah. So shout out to Nicholas Ellingford. Because I learned today that showing off my gun in the checkout line of the store, my loaded gun in the checkout line of the store, is probably not a good idea. Talking about public service now. That, ladies and gentlemen, public service announcement.
Okay.
I mean, it's a lesson learned, right? It's a lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad other people do these things like that, because I learn from them on what not to do. You know how sometimes they say, oh, you have to go through it to understand it. There's some certain things you don't have to go through. I can see your nonsense, so now, thank you, I don't have to do it.
But you know what? I can't say that I ever thought I needed a loaded gun in the grocery store. I never thought, like, you know what? I want to make sure, just in case. I mean, I guess it's the apocalypse, right? We are in the apocalypse, so maybe he has some toilet paper, and he had that early apocalypse thought, like, somebody gonna try to get this toilet paper from me, so I gotta make sure I got my gun. I'm strapped. Ain't nobody taking my tissue from me. Maybe that's what it was. I'm gonna give him that. That sound better? That make it sound better? Protecting the toilet paper.
If he has the, what is that? Is he in a what is that? A carry state? If he's in one of those, then it doesn't matter. He probably just has one in general.
Yeah. Could be. I'm just saying, though. I mean, I guess because Oregon is lit right now. They're protesting every day and every night. So maybe that's part of it, too. Crap, yeah. Just in case.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, now he'll know not to, at least, you know, maybe he'll keep it on him, but not to take it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll practice taking it out without shooting himself.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, on that note, we probably need to take a break. So this is the Good Life album, Fatty Girl.
Good. Some boys got an automatic thickness. Get to it. Just stay working hard. Good and great. Good God. Oh, my. You got
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was the Good Life album by Fatty Girl. Call-in number is 347-826-7435.
347-826-7435.
All right. So,
I learned
something,
Brown Sugar.
What have you learned?
Aside from the fact that I like the song Fatty Girl, I also learned that, because we talked about doing some, talking about good stuff, right? Good news. Y'all been on me to talk about good news. Let's be more positive about the apocalypse. Let's be more positive. So you know what? I'm going to talk about something that happened in Florida. Positive.
And what happened? Positive? Oh, okay. I'd like to hear
positive in Florida, baby. Michael Bloomberg, he paid the fees of 32,000 so that they could vote. It's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Bloomberg.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, there's the restitution fees that felons have to pay. And if they don't pay, their right to vote is still restricted from them. So it's a Florida law where you have to pay your restitution or you don't get a chance to vote. And so Bloomberg decided, you know what? I'm going to control 32,000 votes in the state of Florida. So,
I don't know, but isn't that a red state, though? Or you think because they're felons, they might not necessarily, what?
Well, let's just say,
I mean, does
this,
it matter? Not that it matters, but, you know.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm the rich guy. I paid your way. I paid your fee. You kind of work for me now. So what I say, go. I'll make sure your ass goes back to jail.
Can he control that? Can he control that?
Yes. If somebody paid your fee and he's a rich guy, you're probably going to listen if they tell you to do something. I'm just saying.
You're going to get all, what is it, 300 and something in a room and be like, you
30,
have to do this now? Or
32,000.
32,000. Oh, 32,000.
Yeah, ain't
okay,
no 300.
So he's going to get 32,000. He can't control all 32,000.
You going to vote, homie. You going to vote. I paid for you to vote. It's rich folks. Now, this ain't just apocalypse talking. This ain't just apocalypse talking. I'm saying rich people do things for a reason. Generally, you've heard, and I know you're familiar with this term, and maybe we need need to update it for 2020 because some people forgot because it's the apocalypse, right? But when I was growing up, it was ass, cash, or gas. Nobody rides for free. Ooh-wee.
I believe that.
All right. So, homie, put up the cash. Now, you have to give up the ass. Because nobody rides for free. So you think that he don't control the votes? I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm just saying I don't see how. I'm not saying that some of them won't be, but I mean, it's just like any other thing when it's lots of people. You can't keep track
brown
of
sugar.
Everybody's votes.
Brown sugar.
Yes, sir.
Now we're talking about rich people, right? I mean, I'm a conspiracy theorist. There's no doubt about that. But there are some things that we know are universal truths. Rich people, we know it's a tax write-off for him, right? But at the same time, Michael Bloomberg is a political person. He's been in office before, right? So,
yeah.
All right. So he dabbles in politics, right? So let's put one and one together. I used to be in politics. I'm still kind of involved in politics. I paid for 32,000 people to vote in a state that normally swings elections. I'm just saying. I'm not going to say nothing else. I'm just going to put that right. I'm just going to set that right there on the couch next to you. Or the bed. Wherever you listening to this at. I'm just going to set that right there. Because rich people who are in politics just do stuff out of the kindness of their hearts. We've seen it so many times. Right? You can name
we know that that's not it, though. We know he's not being kind. I mean, the agenda or the motive or the intention is not in question. What I'm questioning is how will he know how 32,000 people have voted? That's all I'm saying.
Because I told him to go vote. I probably rent the buses that take their ass to the poll. After I done told them who they voting for and what they voting for. I'm just saying, allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying there's just no way to know or no way.
I mean, if I thought like that, if I was a rich guy and I thought like that, maybe I would do that.
Maybe he has it figured out because he is a rich guy and, you know.
But we say it's still good news, right? Because he got those people, he gave them their rights back. And that is not held over because a lot of times they go back because they have to pay that restitution. So
yeah, that is good.
That was a good thing that he did. I'm not
yeah,
gonna say
maybe
he had ulterior motives.
Don't have to worry about that.
Right. So that's something off their chest. I mean, see, for example, now we can go the opposite way. One thing I learned about politics: for every good reaction, there's an equal and opposite negative reaction. For example. In that same state of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis proposed a bill of rights for college students in response to schools punishing students for hosting parties and other social gatherings amidst the apocalypse. So, what he goes on to say, I understand that universities are trying to do the right thing. But I personally think it's dramatically draconian that a student could get potentially expelled for going to a party. That's what college kids do. And so, yeah, in the middle of the apocalypse, if you're having a party at the school when they told you not to have a party, the school is expelling you. Now, you know my views on it. I'm like, hey, if they all want to get together and do their thing, I'm like, whatever. If you get sick, you get sick. Everybody's got personal choice. Me myself, I'm like, y'all do your thing. Because everybody has a choice in this, right? It's like everything, you have a choice.
You do, but I feel like this. At this point in the situation, and I understand, because I'm about sick of it all. I'm about sick of hearing it on the news. I'm sick of wearing a mask. I'm sick of waiting in lines. I'm sick of, I still can't find Lysol. I'm just sick of it all. So I feel like it's not just about getting sick. It's about they keep pushing it back further and further. So people are complaining about, schools not open yet, or, different things not being open or not being able to do things. But if everybody would just do whatever it is, if it is just wearing a mask, just wear the mask, stop having the parties, and then we can get back to normal.
Why can't I party?
I'm not saying you can't ever. You just can't right now. I feel
that
we are in a class of second graders, and it's recess time, and we always miss recess because of the two knuckleheads. The two kids that won't listen, everybody else has to suffer.
So you're just blaming it on two of them?
I mean, it's more than that, but I'm just saying. regardless of whether it's two of them or 10 of them or 30 of them or 3,000, it still is holding us up for just living, getting back to somewhat of a normal life.
Okay.
That's all
right,
I'm saying. So at some point, you just have to just, sacrifice. I mean, you're not sacrificing that much.
So some folks, you got to remember, in America, most folks are used to doing what they want, when they want, how they want. No restrictions. We do what we feel.
And I understand. And and my thing is this, in other countries where, the COVID cases were low and now they're not necessarily high, but they're having, more than they were before. But I don't know. I just feel like had we just locked everything down,
but we did.
We wouldn't be going to this town. No. We didn't lock everything down.
Okay.
And I don't know what it's like in China anymore, but I know in China they spent 75 days in total lockdown.
All right. But you see, then when you lock stuff down, then you have people going into Subway with their rocket launcher. So I don't know. Folks, they just built differently. So remember the months when everybody was, they was walking in the streets, they rocket launcher, they was going to the state capitol with their machine gun.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that kind of happened. That kind of happened.
And they should have been arrested.
No.
Why not?
Why would I get arrested for having a rocket launcher in Subway? You're not making
sense.
Why
would you have a rocket?
I need, one, you guarantee when you have a rocket launcher in Subway, you guarantee that your sandwich is going to be made perfectly first.
Oh, definitely. And Subway is like the worst sandwich place, but yeah.
Yeah, but your sandwich is going to be perfect. Because when you walked in with that rocket launcher, you said, get my shit right or else. Ain't no, you not arguing with them. You just like, hey, how you want your, you know what? This ain't even going to be a 6-inch. I'm going to give you 8. I'm just saying. It's a lot. Let me put that extra meat on there. Oh, man, look, you know, don't even worry about it. You get the 12.
Yeah, I would prefer 8 to 6, too, so. With extra meat.
All right. See, we weren't even doing that, but we just did.
You talk about sandwiches. And I'm
talking about sandwiches, yeah.
Who wouldn't want an 8-inch sandwich as opposed to a 6-inch with extra meat? Who wouldn't want
So that means that you're going into Subway with your rocket launcher?
No, I'm not doing that. That's too much work.
Well, you wouldn't make it, but, you know.
No, I wouldn't make it to there without walking into it, you know.
Nah, you'd have got clipped. You'd have got clipped.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even been able to negotiate the 8-inch with the extra meat.
No, I wouldn't have.
Speaking of it, because we still on the coronavirus and things that we've learned. I learned Dr. Fauci says that a vaccine won't even eliminate the need for masks or social gap distancing and washing hands. So,
I saw that too, and I was like, okay, so that means we're going to wear a mask forever.
Yeah. No, I just thought this, and this is what struck me. So you're gonna tell people, hey, get this vaccine. But getting this vaccine doesn't mean that anything changes. I'm like, so why would I get the vaccine if this changes nothing? I mean, inquiring minds, well, I'm asking for a friend. I've got terrorist friends.
I don't know.
All across the United States who would like to know the answer to that question. I know all my favorite terrorists want to know the answer to that question.
I mean, I've always felt that, I don't know. I hate to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't like that. But I don't like being I don't like that. I don't like being that.
No?
I don't like it.
I mean, but you are.
Fun. It's no fun. It's always being, you know, always wondering.
So what are you trying to say?
What do you mean?
I'm saying you don't like being a conspiracy theorist. See, I just thought
But who wants to be? It's almost like being paranoid. Like, who wants to always think that something bad is happening or something no good that's not good for people or underhanded or, you know what I mean? Who wants to think that?
Well, see, I thought this when, one, they were talking about the vaccine, right? And, you know, we had talked about the vaccine and how they said that a few test subjects had adverse effects. But they like, hey, we're going to get it out there anyway. You know, I thought, you know what? The United States government and trustworthiness, it's not really that they don't go together. It's like some people trust the government. Like, yeah, they're going to give us a vaccine that is worthy and it works. I mean, because that's generally what they say that they do and have done. Now, there are some folks in the United States who may have been a part of the Tuskegee experiments and other MK Ultra, Agent Orange. You know, there's a few other cases that come to mind might not necessarily believe that a vaccine developed by this government, I mean, in this administration, who have always been upfront and very truthful at all times, right? They're developing the vaccine. This administration, you know,
I mean,
just yeah. Trustworthy. I mean, Donald Trump, he's the face you can trust. We're just saying. I mean, because we're talking. These are the people who are back, and then for the head doctor to come out and say, yeah, we can get the vaccine, but you still gonna have to wear a mask and do all that. I'm like, so I'm taking the vaccine for what? That's all I thought.
I mean, I'm not taking the vaccine, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember when he told people you can drink that bleach. People was drinking hand sanitizer, taking drugs. Right, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, because he said do it, and then they did it, and they went to the hospital. And so I hear that there's adverse effects with the vaccine that they're supposed to be pushing out here. I'm good. I'm going to take my chances.
Well, they're saying that you don't even know what the side effects will be after you take it for 6 months to a year. And I don't ever believe in that. I always say 2 to 3 years because, you know, you just look at a lot of these where you see that if you've taken Zoloft, you may be
right.
entitled to compensation. And this
right.
is years, you know, after, or Zantac.
Right.
Just think, you know, Zantac is just an over-the-counter heartburn pill.
You're talking
and
about Zantac.
People die for taking that.
I'm talking about baby powder.
Exactly.
Think about how many times you thought you was doing right by your kid. You changed the diaper, did the wipe, and then put that baby powder in there. How detrimental was
yeah.
that? Yeah, we find out 25 years later. Yeah, you were raising the chances of your kid getting cancer. Now, you start thinking about it. All the people who have gotten cancer over the years was because you had baby powder in your diaper. I mean, I don't know. And, you know, it's neither here nor there, right? It could be right, it could be wrong. I just thought, man, baby powder. I used to put baby powder on my feet. You know, I wanted to make my feet smell good. Use baby powder on the diapers. You know, it was. That's what happened. So, yeah. Now, I still am a conspiracy theorist. I can talk about some stuff, but there are some things that you get proved right on. For example.
Yeah.
I have railed against black licorice since the dawn of my existence. I do not understand mm-hmm. black licorice. I think it's the most vile, disgusting thing ever created. So, when I read that a man died after eating a bag of black licorice, it was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. Homie loved black mm-hmm. licorice, and it cost him his life. Now, granted, he ate a bag and a half every day. Yeah.
A bag and a half?
Yeah, it caused his heart to stop. They said, yeah, they said even a small amount of licorice you eat can increase your blood pressure a little bit.
And yeah, I was going to say you're not supposed to eat licorice if you take high blood pressure pills or something like that.
They said eating as little as 2 ounces of black licorice a day for 2 weeks could cause a heart rhythm problem, especially for folks over 40.
Wow.
Yeah, they said now, and then they said it's more than licorice sticks, though. It could be jelly beans, licorice teas, even some beers like Belgian beers have this compound called glycyrrhizic acid. Just putting that out there. So when everybody was talking about me and my hatred of black licorice, not understanding it, subliminally, I was right.
Your intuition.
My intuition. Yeah. There.
So actually, speaking of black licorice, don't you have something to say about Jelly Bellies though? I forgot to say something about
They were delicious. I acquired some Jelly Bellies. They were delicious. But now I'm thinking, damn, did I almost kill myself eating Jelly Bellies? Just thought.
I think it's the licorice, though, because licorice is a root. So I think it might be whatever in
the
that
root.
Because I've had licorice tea before. Yeah, I've had licorice tea before, and it's a root. So
licorice tea. Okay. All right.
It's a detox.
So, the stuff that they say can kill you is a detox.
Yeah.
All right. they say the stuff they say can kill you is a detox. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
There we go. That right there. That is see, for all you people out there, we learn something new every day.
What, that licorice tea?
Licorice.
I mean,
just
I haven't taken
no.
it in years. But yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, we gonna go into, because we just learning stuff, we gonna go into our hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
All right. So, hater of the week was one of the most reprehensible acts that I've heard of in a long time, aside from some of the heinous things that we've seen in the news that people are rioting about. There's a Colorado man, Jason Arroyo. He's accused of shooting and killing a neighbor's grandmother because he was upset over the children playing near his yard. Not in his yard, but near his yard. So the neighbors told the police he became upset at the children and threw water on them, and then got into a verbal altercation with his neighbor, said he went back inside, got a pistol, and fired 6 shots. He killed the 55-year-old grandmother and injured the son and the daughter.
That's just awful. That's not even a hater. That's a dumb whatever.
That's some hate, though.
All kinds of stuff.
You think you're mad at kids playing outside, having fun. See, now I have my theories. You know, I have my other theories. So you know, I always say that sexual healing kind of helps some of this stuff. That I'm going to guess that Jason Arroyo was backed up quite a bit. He had two girlfriends, the left and the right. And you know, when you're mad, I mean, because there's got to be some special hate built up in you. You're just mad at kids playing outside. Not in your yard, but near your yard. There's kids playing outside. Most of that stuff you just ignore. You just watch TV, right? Kids outside playing, having a good time.
Yeah.
Let that go. Right.
That should bring joy to you. You should be joyful watching that.
Not if you're a hater. Not if you're a hater.
Yeah.
You, the old thing, haters gonna hate. It's just like you out there having fun, and I'm sitting here backed up. Boom. just speculation on my part.
Well, you know, I'm not saying I would ever shoot and kill anyone, but yeah, I mean, I could see that too, though, especially since now you can't get hugs. You know, you barely can do handshakes, so.
Okay, but you know what?
He might have already
been struggling
with that anyway, so.
Right, but you see, that's why they invented porn. Just get, they don't have 1-900, but they got the video cam. You can talk to a girl on the cam. They can pretend like they like you, and you can pretend like it's real, and boom. Get some of that off.
I guess.
Just a thought. I'm just saying. That, you know, some hateristic shit doesn't get there. We ain't thinking that way. Killing people because kids are playing outside. That's some hater shit.
I don't know. I mean, it is. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I don't understand that. I mean, I can't even be, I don't know. I don't know. I guess not getting sex does make some people angry.
No, I'm being speculative, right? I'm being speculative. I'm not saying
I know that. Yeah, I understand that that's a possibility, though, as well. Or he could just, you know, be a people hater. He just hate people in general.
Right.
So that's why.
Yeah, out there having fun.
That he isn't getting any. So, I mean, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you can't not like people and still have one. Doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Means to an end. Means to an end.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, we go. We gonna go on break. This is a Think Differently Preservation.
Better with a new swag, same swag, a new bag, move gangbang with a little dirty farm to occasionally cluster up the surface to preserve. AR Periscope, masculine paradigm, boom on a shark attack, flash to the quill and thought, spark a bag, fresh off the farmer, the counter batter top, blaming on the overly yaggy farming power crop. Dark way when a pioneer, you're dropping the odds, know what a proper sprockets and cons, not with a best thing, with a foul shell moment, waiting for that great celebrity channel throwing. And you need to know it's time, yeah, preservation, the National Guard is me, a A-stop, rock stop, and many operations against the fit, Dallas Bridges and Spitz before it ever hits that, gather a tribute to the decay, Council plays, master rule, it's A-stop, it's absolute, Delphi practice, shooting, master rule, capture food, but last on loose, hip-hop needs to be better, it's such a touch, you will never get, just be, up to sales, it's definitely where I've been, still,
for a demo to take care of it. Music during commercial break, starring an audience, you can put one man species, shake allegiance over who. Big fuck, so in my world, like a fascinator fight. Probably find out the older alligator fade away. Make a bet, clean up, set up a little step. We are the fuck, you want the right fight. You better have appreciation for this. Eat out, I'm so hungry, man, I'm tasting this shit. In the dirty dissipation of this, then it's a bitch. Just be the last, like it's the only reason why I like this track is to be able to keep the flow. That's how deep we go.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Think Differently, Preservation. The call-in number is 347-826-7435, 347-826-7435.
All right. So, we just, you know, like always, we just going to dive in.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Most people know what that shit is, that Groundhog Day shit. Breonna Taylor's killers. didn't get charged for killing her. They got charged, I saw the sign, they got charged for missing her because those bullets went into another apartment. And that's what the guy was charged for. The other three, not. So we start talking about the dynamics to this, right? Because we hear people, Brown Sugar, they always talk about, if somebody break into my house, I'm shooting. Right?
Yeah.
As I said, you break into my house, I'm shooting. I mean, because I feel that way. You break into my house, hey, whatever happened to you when you come in, it happens. Because you in the wrong place at the right time. Then you hear the people saying, well, if homie wouldn't have shot, the police wouldn't have shot. But it's a no-knock warrant. So if you bust into somebody's house on a no-knock warrant, meaning you didn't knock, you bust into the house, most people who are strapped are going to shoot first. I mean, that's what happened. The police shoot back, kill Breonna Taylor in her house, even though she had nothing to do with the investigation, and the person that they were looking for had already been caught. So you know you were wrong. They tried to charge them for breaking in when they got caught. Then they tried to have the ex-boyfriend set her up. That didn't work. Then they just, you know what? She a criminal. You know what? Here's $12 million.
He's got to help you out.
Yeah, but they're not guilty. We paid you the money but they're not guilty. And so people will automatically, and this is the sick part, people will automatically associate justice with them getting $12 million. And it's like, no, $12 million is not justice.
No, it's not.
Them being charged for being incompetent and killing an innocent person, going to jail for it, is justice. But Groundhog Day, no justice. And so, you know what's been happening out here, Brown Sugar?
And what's been happening?
This is the part that's funny. So we as the people who've been unrepresented from day one in this country and made to feel uncomfortable day after day after day, unsettled, just outright angry, mad, sad. It's a range of emotions. We've had that since the onset. And as we found out, you know, we talk about what we've learned, we found out that that can be passed down in your DNA. So injustice and the negative feelings that are associated with injustice are passed down through your DNA. So, you know, I gave it to my kids, and they gave it to their grandkids,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, you have people who are upset because, hey, we don't want to see politics on TV and in sports and everywhere. All this woke shit, as they call it. It's, homie, you get to be uncomfortable now. So everybody's uncomfortable. Everybody don't want to be uncomfortable. The status quo was we were uncomfortable, and everybody else just get to sit back. I don't know why y'all tripping. So now everybody's uncomfortable, and it's just untenable. No, because it's supposed to be, you're supposed to just be mad, Brown Sugar. You're supposed to just be mad by yourself. Not everybody mad.
Exactly.
So this where we are. Sure. So now we're at the point where in Texas, and in other states, they're talking about, you know what? Maybe we need to crack down on rioting. We're going to charge them with a felony if you riot, whether it's peaceful or not. You out there protesting, we're just going to arrest you because we just tired of this. We're just tired because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. You should be the only people who feel uncomfortable.
Of course. Well, that's how we came here.
Right. Well, that don't count. That's a long time ago, Brown Sugar. That's a long time ago. That happened way, way, way back. It had nothing to do with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see how that goes. You know, you being upset about something that happened a long time ago, but then you try to teach about it, they get mad when you teach about it. Like, wait, hold on. I remember they were talking about how that's un-American. I'm like, so telling the truth is un-American and unpatriotic. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Un-American, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to make it to make it even worse, and I, you know, it's funny when it gets so bad that the United Nations had to come out and say something, which is the crazy part. The United Nations came out and called on police to halt the use of force against journalists covering protests. The United Nations.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. These are strange times.
Yeah, so they came out, the United Nations announcing the initiative said, they said, and I'm going to read this thing, what we see today is how often the human rights of many reporters included seem to be casually disregarded by American police forces that are granted extraordinary immunities from prosecution. A certain institutional ethos has developed that the police are above the law and have so little to fear from press scrutiny that they can lock journalists up with impunity. It is not healthy for a police officer to treat justice and the tradition of habeas corpus as indispensable, mere inconveniences to clearing the streets. That's the United Nations. It's got to the point where, I mean, because, you know, reporters getting shot, because there's over 70 journalists in the U.S. have been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Dozens injured by the rubber bullets and pepper spray and tear gas. And they said more than 500, there's more than 500 reports of journalists being targeted during the unrest. Because you out there and you with the real press. Because it's one thing to like ignore Facebook lies. They don't really care about that. But it's like press from other countries, you know, press from major newspapers. Those journalists are getting arrested and shot too. United Nations. It's that bad. When the whole world is like, you know what? Y'all fucking up. And, you know, you'll get some people, there'll be some nationalistic people, right, who are like, you know, that's just other countries getting all up in our business. They don't know what's going on. It ain't that bad. Except it kind of is.
Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is.
Because, you know, United Nations,
I mean,
don't give a shit.
I'm not mad at them.
Right. I mean, what you're saying, the United Nations don't normally give a shit about nothing, right?
No, not. I mean, unless it's, you know, they have bigger issues to deal with, usually.
Right. But they're like, hey, can y'all stop shooting the journalists? Can you stop hurting journalists? Can you stop putting them in jail? Because you're getting foreign journalists too. But generally, foreign journalists probably look like the people that they think don't deserve to be treated right in the first place.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff, to say the least. Now,
it always is.
Now, you know what else I learned? You know what else I learned? Brown sugar.
What have you learned?
I learned that Linda Fairstein is suing Netflix, a defamation suit. Now, for those of you who don't know who Linda Fairstein is, she's the ex-prosecutor who was involved in the Central Park Five. Remember that Netflix special, When They See Us?
The documentary. Mm-hmm, the documentary, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's suing because she's saying that she was unfairly betrayed. She said,
"How so?"
She was unfairly betrayed because she said they made her look like she was a racist, and that she was trying to railroad innocent individuals.
So I mean, that's always just say you don't like the way that you were portrayed. Don't say you were unfairly because you were portrayed exactly how you behaved.
Right.
That was your behavior, so that's what was portrayed. And if you didn't like it, then just say you didn't like it and maybe apologize or not, or just be quiet about it. Because, it is what it is. If that's what it was, then, I don't understand this new narrative of not saying exactly what it is. I don't understand, this new, let's call it something else. If we don't call it what it is, then it's not that. And it's like, what?
Well,
I think
there,
that has to do with people not liking, what is that? Labels.
All right. Well, see, we're gonna go past labels. So let's look at the results of those dealings. If I'm not mistaken, those five young men were all found to be innocent. And that they actually were railroaded by Linda Fairstein. If I'm not mistaken, they were all innocent. They were proven innocent.
Yeah.
So, what actually happened is what actually happened in the documentary. We're in the bizarre world. It's the apocalypse. We ain't trying to tell the truth. See, because only in the apocalypse can you come out and say, yeah, but see, y'all told the truth. That's some bullshit.
Or you didn't have to tell that part of the truth. You could have just left that part out.
No. You told some truth. You didn't tell some truth. You told the truth, and that's some bullshit. Because that's basically what she was saying, right? That's what happened. Yes, they were. Because you asked her the questions. Yeah, they were innocent. Yeah, we rushed the judgment. Yes, we didn't follow the case correctly. And yeah, everything that I said and did ultimately was proven to be wrong. But we don't
want to talk about that. I don't want that on TV or on tape, or I don't want that. That's proof. That's forever now.
I think
in 20 years, that'll be not even 20 years, but they'll be talking about this in some law class. And now you guys made me look like an idiot.
Yeah.
No, you did that to yourself, so.
Yeah. So, it's you're gonna tell the truth. And then everybody's going to know that I was an evil person. Because people don't want your friends. You're sitting there. Because, her friends probably watched it. You sitting there, you're looking at the documentary, and it's somebody that you break bread with. And you're thinking in your head while you're sitting there, damn, she ain't shit. Right? You start thinking about it, you start looking at your friend differently, right? We're all hanging out, brown sugar, and I did some shit like that, and you're just looking at me wow, he's a horrible human being. Because you got to sit there and just look at them like that. Because it's like you watch it and you, when you see the results and you know that everything that I did was 100% wrong and was racist. I mean, because you figure, like they say, you hang out with 9 broke friends, you probably be the 10th one. She probably is the 10th racist in her group, right? But even some of them be looking like, but that was kind of stupid. It's kind of stupid. Just saying. Maybe. I don't know. You never know. Because people can have that. They can have that in them. They could. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I've been wrong 1,000.
Have you? Are you willing to admit that? Because she doesn't seem. Maybe you can teach her how to just be wrong and accept it, and maybe apologize and just move on.
You think so? You think she would take that from you?
Well, I don't know. She might. My women like black men, so.
Hey, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
You probably got that. You probably can, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, look, I am racist, but I'll suck your dick. It's a weird thing.
See, that'll have nothing to do. To do with her racism.
Right. It's like, look. I mean, because then instead of the age old one, I have black friends. You just say I suck black dick though, so I can't be racist.
Yeah, I think that is like an actual thing though, like for real.
Is it?
No, for real. Yeah, I believe, like, in the early times of protesting, like, some white women had some signs similar to what you just said.
I suck black dick, so I'm not racist.
Well, not necessarily that, but, you know, something similar to that, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm just saying. I mean, because remember the Klan, you know, they had sex with, and the slave, they had sex with the black slaves, and the Klan had sex with black women. Yeah. I hate black people, but.
I mean, yeah, one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Right. I hate you.
Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, attraction has nothing to do with
some of that brown
sugar. That's two different things. Yeah, see?
No.
Attraction has nothing to do with racism at all.
Hmm. You would think that it would, though.
You would think that it would. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it does for me, but but most people it doesn't, know.
Yeah, I just thought there's just something. That's different. I thought, but I've been wrong before, so I'll be wrong again. And on that note,
one of those things that make you say hmm.
Yeah. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N Word, and this is another Smooth Drama production. If you want to continue chatting with us, we are chatting on smoothdrama.com. See you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.